Hey y'all, this is Nida and you're listening to Underground. So today's guest is all the way from LA, California. He's incredibly talented, incredibly funny, so very enterprising and so inspiring because he's been putting music out since 2019, but today if you open up his social media, he's going to be everywhere. He makes amazing house and techno music, and not just that, he actually makes great content around that as well. His music has been picked up and played by some big names in the house music scene. His name is JK Morris, but we all know him by his artist name, Bad Boombox. Hey JK, thank you so much for coming on board.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So you've been putting things out since 2019, and you've been played by a bunch of big names. And so I was wondering if you were producing, did you start producing recently, or is this something that, you know, you've been doing for a while now?
No, I've been producing for probably like 7 years now. And, you know, this is my latest of artist names. But yeah, I've been like doing like so many different projects. It started a long time ago. Like it started like when I was a kid. My dad had these like cassette tapes of like old like 90s dance music, like 90s house. And we'd always just like play it in the house and just dance. And, you know, and then when I was a teen, like he'd like take me out to the clubs. We'd be, you know, just going to the nightclubs. I'm like hear like house music, techno on like the big speakers for the first time. Looked at the DJ. I was like, that's what I want to do. So yeah, so I started messing around with Ableton and or actually Fruity Loop Studio before it was FL Studio. That was like the first thing I torrented when I was like 12, maybe, like messed around with it, then moved to Ableton. And then, yeah, in college was when I like started like seriously like putting tracks together and finishing them and posting them. So yeah, I was doing all kinds of different styles, but Bad Boombox, that was 2019. That's like the latest of my, I'm like finally getting what kind of like music I should be making. It like feels natural. So this is like, this is here to stay.
You didn't stop making house music when you started. So what were you producing earlier?
It's weird because like it should have been house from like the very beginning. It's like that's like what I was doing in my free time. I was young, you know, I was like 18, 19, like trying to like in college, like listening to like what's cool on Beatport and like trying to like emulate that, which is like a really good learning experience. But like I was doing, let's see, 7 years ago, 2013 was like I was actually in a duo and then a trio, and we were doing like progressive house that sounded like huge influence from like Avicii and like, you know, whatever was cool at the time, like Kygo, like
yeah.
Eventually started getting more and more like house, like the harder stuff, like, you know, tech house, techno, like that's my, you know,
yeah,
that's what I was meant to do.
What DAW do you use today? Is it still Ableton, or do you have like a bunch of things?
Yeah,
that you... yeah.
Yep, all Ableton. Upgraded to Ableton 10 finally, and it's awesome. And like everything is pretty much in the box. Like I use like a little MIDI controller and, you know, like some pads, like just to like help out with like turning the knobs and everything. But eventually gonna get some hardware since, but yeah, I'm in the box, all Ableton.
Can you walk me through what you do when you sit down to produce?
Ooh, I start, so like I have my default template on Ableton. When I first opened the program, there's already a 4-on-4 click kick drum that's already like ready with like the sidechain ghost track on top of it. Mm-hmm. So that's just like ready to go, so that I open Ableton and I see that, and then I have either whatever sample, like I wanted to like sample something like I heard around the internet, or like, or you know, like I use like Max for Live plugins that are sequencers, so I can like sequence like kind of like acid riffs. So I have that and start like messing around with the melody, like an 8-bar loop and a 16-bar loop. Whenever like something starts to sound like something that could be a melody, and it's got to be like very fast. Like I have to like work fast, like to, cause you know, it's got to come from the gut. If you think about it for too long, it's time to start over. So as soon as something kind of starts like it sounding like a melody, I just turn on that kick track so I can hear it with the 4-on-4. And then everything kind of gets built around that. The more I learn, the more I realize like you just gotta go. You gotta commit, and you gotta, like if you're using like MIDI, you know, like VSTs, like you arrange the melody and then you print the track. You just render the audio and you have that, right? No going back, or at least try not to. I mean, you know how it goes. the more you work with the samples, the more you like organize them, put them in folders, you kind of know what works and like what you vibe with. Like I have like, you know, like for example, the kicks, like I have just like a pack of like 20 kicks that I've been using for a while that like, those are my go-tos. And then I, you know, like process them and tinker them a little bit, like depending on the song. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like rarely, it used to happen more often, just like the more time you spend with them, the more like you kind of, your sound kind of comes to you and you, you know, just like the consistency over doing it like hundreds and hundreds of times, like you just realize like which sounds work for you and which don't, and you just organize those together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sometimes I would like go and like replace a hat, like replace like I recently did a remix. I went in like actually did the whole track and then went in and replaced the kick from it was in C. I changed it to G and it like worked. You know, it was like that missing thing that like didn't.
Yeah,
that kind of goes away. Like it's really important to just be like finishing the tracks even if they're not perfect.
How do you get yourself to finish tracks? Do you have like a bunch of, like, did you always do that, or did you have like a bunch of unfinished tracks and then you had to make like a habit out of it?
It's, yeah, it used to, like, especially when I was starting out, it would take like a month to finish a track. and if it takes a month now, like, it gets better. Like, it's just like the more you do it.
Yeah.
And I set like, sometimes I set like creative constraints. Like it's like a fun exercise. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, like you like write down on a piece of paper, like, okay, today I'm making a track that's like about space and I can only use these three sounds. And then the next day I would do like, okay, today I'm making a track, but I have to start and finish it in 2 hours, like without standing up, you know, and then, and then like mix it or whatever. And then like, it teaches you like good habits.
When you produce, what kind of plugins do you like? Are your like go-to favorites?
My go-to favorites, usually my two favorite synths that are VSTs are from UHE. They're called Diva and Ace. Those are my go-to. They take a lot of CPU. So like what I was saying earlier, you like print track and just like have that permanent audio, like it works really well. But yeah, they create like magical sounds that like emulate a lot of old like Moog sounds and like modular synths from like the 80s.
Oh wow.
So yeah, they're great. A lot of people love them, like a lot of like cool vintage sounds. But lately I've been combining that with like Max for Life sequencers, like one is called like Acid, the other is called like Sting. Like they're like these like free little scripts that you can get on the Ableton site.
Okay.
And yeah, it just generates like little like acid riffs, and
wow.
You combine that with a synth, or you combine it with like a sample that's chopped up and add drums to it, and just like starts to work.
Also, you make like a bunch of tracks. I've like seen like a whole bunch of releases from you, and you're constantly releasing things. Also, you make like a lot of parody videos, so you're also producing for those little bits. So how do you find the time to like, how do you produce so many things at such a large scale? Like how do you do that? Like skip from one idea to another, and like, you know,
actually for when it comes to, yeah, like making the tracks, it's like part of my workflow, and it's really important to like take breaks by either listening to something else or like working on a completely another track. Like I would start a track, make it up to until 90% finished. Mm-hmm. And then I have to start another track and then work on that until that's 90%. So my ears completely adjust to the new one. That way, when I go to the old one, it's like, it sounds new, you know? So like, I just keep doing that. And then next thing you know, I have like 5-6 tracks that are like all like almost finished. It makes it look like I'm working on a lot of things at once, but it's really just a workflow. Like the things, they kind of finish themselves like that. Like, so it's like between that and like the, you know, like I do the TikToks that, you know, like have like little production tutorials or like little dances or whatever. Like that's like, you know, that's like, that's a fun side project that gets me, you know, people to just like join the.
Right. Yeah. That's how I found you, by the way.
Through TikTok?
No, not through TikTok, through Instagram, but like
through
a
Instagram,
bunch of
TikTok. Yeah.
I love your impressions of all the DJs. That was hilarious.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. That's also when I'm like super bored and like I need to like give myself like a listening break from the tracks or from work. Mm-hmm. That like, it's like, okay, let's make like a fun video like people can relate to. And yeah.
But is that something that you thought of as like a brand image, or is that something that you just did because?
It was the TikTok thing started last year. I already like making, you know, like funny, like little videos of like little edits or whatever, like on my other on my personal Instagram. Like, I've been doing that, like, with, you know, like, kind of like traveling, like backpacking. I would just like edit videos together. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for the Bad Boombox thing, like, I was like making tracks, like putting them out, but I downloaded the app, like, just to see, like, you know, just for fun. Yeah, just something I can just post things on, that, like, I was like, okay, no one will see this. Like, let me, you know, let me just like edit something funny together. And yeah, just like started posting it, and like literally the first video I posted, it just kind of it like kind of blew up.
Which one was that?
Like, the very first one was like actually exactly a year ago. It was this track called like Never Same, and it was mm-hmm. like a 15 second, like, you know, like the kick, then the bass, then the hats, and like I like, you know, like went to sleep. I was like, okay, I post this, like no one will see this. Woke up and it had, and it's like funny to say it now, but like I woke up and it had like 100 likes, and that was the most I've ever gotten, like on ever. And I was like freaking out, just start sweating. Like, you know, went up to all my friends, like, dude, look at this, this is the like people were paying attention to me. And then it kind of, I started doing those videos like weekly, and I still do them weekly, and yeah, they start blowing up.
Yeah,
it just like compounds on itself. So my advice is like, it's, you know, just try things and for fun, like this dance music, everything that's supposed to be fun. So you do things for fun and you never know, sometimes they you know, gain the traction and, you know, followers and everything.
And have you started playing live yet?
Well, it's like the Bad Boombox thing started taking off, like during, you know, this whole lockdown quarantine thing. So yeah. I'm hoping that, you know, by next year I'll have, you know, I'll just have enough clout to be able to, you know, play live. Like, that's what I miss. I used to play live in college in Washington, D.C. You know, started out with like house parties, and then it went to like, I was doing like with my friend Andrew, we would go to just clubs all around like Washington, D.C. Like, we played at Echo Stage one time, which is like a huge like venue for like the EDM going on at the time. It was good. I was like DJing on like the little Traktor S2 and just like bring it around with me to the club, and, you know, like really like, trust in that. So that was like 6 years ago. So I do miss those days of just like having people like just, it feels so good, you know, like when you like,
but you did do some live streams. I did watch.
Yeah. So that's the plan for, you know, it's going to be a cold winter, dark winter for everyone with COVID. Like, there's, you know, things are going to slow down again. And then, so I'm going to be trying to do like once every few weeks to like, you know, go live like that with like the funny visuals. You see my green screen back here. Like, yeah, to like, do these sets, like techno sets, house sets, like be like jumping back and forth, between the two. So that hopefully in the spring, when things like start to open back up, start to play, you know, that's what I miss.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we all do. So when you found out about your tracks being played by like some big names, how do you find out, and how to make you feel? That's such a cliche question, but
no, it feels so good. It's like a lot of times, like the people you look up to, like it just happened to be like playing the track. So a couple months ago, I had like the release on Slightly Sizzled Records, and like shout out to Cricked and David, like based in LA. They just kill it with the marketing. Like, they have like a really good team of people that just like send out all these promos, and like they use like in flight, they have like just like all these like big DJs just like listed in there. They send out promos and hit them up personally and like get the track to like start charting with like sales and everything. And then so like through that platform, they can see like who downloads it, who opens it, like who has like a comment or response to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The classic one that like became a meme at this point is the like Richie Houghton always like responds to downloaded for R. Houghton, and then like doesn't like never listens to it. But yeah, some of these guys, like they respond like very positively, like they rate it, and then like they don't ever say you know, like if they play it out, obviously, because like they're super busy. But
yeah,
like some of these big guys, like, you know, we would go, or like someone on the team or like someone from my Instagram would like be like listening to one of their sets and like track ID, like, what is this? And then like tag me in it. And it's like,
wow,
like,
that's amazing.
Yeah. It's felt really good. The first release I ever had on Bad Boombox was through Slightly Sizzled. And they did the same thing, just blasted it out. And like, they like found me, you know, like I had like 19 followers, and like they were like, oh, like you have any tracks? So they released it, and you know, started getting traction, and like, you know, like through the TikToks, like featuring the music too, like it was started blowing up like that. And then I get a message from Craig saying, that the first guy to like play it was Eric Murillo, which it was like, this was like one of the guys that when I was like, what I was telling you earlier, like with like my dad and like all the old cassette tapes, like I had like Eric Murillo was just like the, you know,
yeah.
like, you know, he was huge and like had such an influence on house music. And yeah. for me and my 19 followers to be like Eric Murillo played the song and then like personally like shouted out, this is a new track, like a Bad Boombox, like check him out. And like on his radio show, and I like legit freaked
wow,
out
that's
when,
so
when
yeah.
partied that weekend. Like, so, and then, yeah, I started like growing from there. So I knew I was headed in the right direction.
So I know it's still early on in your career right now, but so far, since you've already gained so much popularity in such a short time, I was wondering what have been like the highlights of your journey so far?
Well, so far it's, like during lockdown, I've been just able to connect with so many people, like a lot of these, like the TikToks and the viral videos and, you know, like the memes I would create around like the techno community has been getting like, you know, like at this point I think it's like over like 10 million views or something. I wake up like a lot of people messaging me like saying like, oh, you know, this is a dark time, but like you made me laugh and like
yeah.
also checked out your music, which is like, you know, that's kind of the point. So yeah, it's like it's been like really, really good to like see that kind of response. And my intention isn't to be like overly like, you know, like salesy or like marketingy, like, you know, like super like religious about that, but I do the TikToks and I do the funny videos like just to get like, you know,
no, that's important.
Like people moving, like people laughing and everything, and like
right.
if they happen to see my music too, like great, you know, I'm not
yeah.
like pushing it on anyone. So yeah, so I mean I'm still early on in my career, you know, I'm not claiming to be like this like big dude or anything, so you know, one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. Like I know like the next step is to start getting some like local bookings and do, you know, like maybe like local bars or clubs, and then hopefully like
yeah.
work my way up from there and get some more releases.
And what would you advise people to do or not to do, especially for artists who've been in the scene for maybe lesser than a couple of years?
Well, I mean, there's the pessimistic view of it is that like, okay, everyone has access to the tools and like, you know, so like the market's very saturated with like people making like kind of like the same kind of music, going after the same kind of thing. The optimistic view of that is that that's a really good thing, that like people were able to create and express themselves with like a couple $100, you know. I think that's good. Like I think that furthers, you know, like dance music and dance music culture when like people were enjoy it so much that like they want to like make it themselves. Because like as a kid, I would hear the dance music and I would be like, one day I want to make that, you know.
Yeah.
So now people are like finally able to do so. So like that shouldn't be shame. With that, there's so many like people doing it and like doing it the same way that like it's like hard to stand out. Things like they should not do is what I get like a lot of messages that are like, just like someone just sends me a SoundCloud link and like that's it. You know, take the time to at least like the people that get on my radar that send me music and like built like actual relationships with are ones that like they see my content, they engage with it, they like start leaving comments, they like message me like something funny, something I can like, you know, relate to.
Yeah.
And then they happen to, you know, drop it, or even like I would find out, like I would go on their profile and I'd see like a SoundCloud link in there. And I'd be like, oh, like you make music too. And we like start talking, like a couple of these guys I've like collaborated with like through this way.
Yeah.
Because like I remember like when I first started like seriously producing, like what I was telling you with like the Avicii days and all that.
Yeah.
I would make the track and then it'd be like my, you know, my track. I would just send it out to like all my friends and family. I'd be like, look, I made a song, and it'd be like so bad. And like, then like a year later, I would like look back and just like cringe. Like, why did I send that out? Like, what? No one cares, you know? So like that's my advice to like guys who've been doing it less than a couple years. Like, don't spam it out. Just like let it like naturally happen. Definitely invest in your craft. Just do it like as much as possible, and then like engage with labels, like interact with them, like comment on their things, and like just like, you know, so you get on their radar, and then, you know, then send the demo, and then you never know, like some of them will pick it up. Or you could do like self-release now. Like it's like I self-release a lot of things. Like Bandcamp this year has like really been killing it. Like they're so good for artists. Like they do Bandcamp Fridays where you can just like keep 100% of your profits, or like you just like put things up for free, and like the interface is really cool.
Yeah,
just like keep like finishing things, like finish 50 tracks, post the best five as an EP, and then just do like, not everyone has to do like TikTok, but like if you do like relatable content with like cool visuals, like post on Instagram or TikTok or something that like will get someone's attention, because no one wants to just like hear like a track with no context. But yeah, if you put it in context with something, like you like take some funny video from like YouTube or something, and then just like put, you know, put your track in the background of it, and then like so people can, you know, see and like relate to it.
Yeah,
that's what really matters. That's like the 2020 strategy. Like, so yeah, there's so many, I mean, there's so much you can do in this day and age, like so many different opportunities you can make, like so much different content, videos, art, and everything like related to music. And you know, with all that opportunity, you can like really like build a name for yourself, like collaborate with the right people.
Yeah, true. All right, thank you so much for giving me your time.
All right, well, thank you so much for having me. You're actually the first person to like have like my alias Bad Boobox on like a show, so I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm surprised, honestly, but yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, we grow from here.
Yeah, sure, definitely. So that was a lovely Bad Boombox. If you guys have any sort of production related questions, please feel free to send me a voice message or a message on my Instagram handle. To send me a voice message, you could just click on the link below, or you could send me a message on my Instagram handle, which is @NIDACHAKRABORTY. Until next time, thank you for tuning in.